And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, it's going to be Midday on Cars. John Davis, our good friend, is the host of Maryland Public Television's Motor Week, and he will join us to talk shop. So if you have a question or a comment on anything and all things automotive, leave a comment or a question for John on the Midday listener line. That number is 410-735-1616. You can tape your question. We'll air it on the air tomorrow. Again, the number 410-735-1616. So we're going to talk cars tomorrow. If you've just joined us today, we're talking about the war in Iran and throughout the Middle East. I'm joined now by Maddie Tattersall and her father, Q, who has asked that we not use his full name. They are members of the Iranian diaspora. Maddie is half Iranian and half Irish on her mother's side. Q was born in Iran. He left in 1979 when the revolution happened when he was 14 years old, and he's only been back to Iran a few times since then. And when we first reached out to Q, he was gazing at four different screens, each broadcasting the latest on the U.S.-Israeli war on Iran. Q joins us from the Philadelphia area on Zoom. Q, welcome to the show. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And Maddie and her husband, Chris, own a tree trimming business, Tattersall Tree Experts in Glen Arm, Maryland. And she joins me here in Studio A. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So, Maddie, let me start with you. You and your husband, Chris, actually did a job with your tree company at the White House at what turned out to be just a few days before the operation that sent bombs in June to Iranian nuclear facilities. Tell us what happened
yes.
in that experience.
About a month prior, we were contacted to rig and install the two new flagpoles on the south and north lawn. And little did we know, as we were completing that project, that President Trump would come out and host a 45-minute press conference with all the crew behind him, talking for the first time in public if he was going to bomb Iran.
And you also, you got a tour of the White House and stuff. I mean, so they welcomed you with open arms.
We did. The White House staff was amazing. I can't express how great they were. So nice to us. Pretty much the whole staff at the White House. It was a very pleasant experience that we had. It was very shocking as well.
So that bombing in June, of course, led to the current conflict we're experiencing now. What are your thoughts about the war and this aggression on behalf of the U.S. and Israel?
When I was standing on the White House lawn, I had my hands behind my back, and I was kind of shocked that I was 10 feet from the president as we were talking about this subject with nobody knowing that I was an Iranian-American on the lawn. I think a lot has changed from June to now for my own personal beliefs. I am a woman. I am a woman business owner, and I'm a first-generation Iranian-American, so there is nothing I want more than the country of Iran to be free of this regime.
And Q, you still have family in Iran. Have you been in touch with people in Tehran? We were talking to Trita Parsi, who's been able to get through to a few folks. How about you? Have you been able to communicate with people in Iran now?
Yeah, I am able to communicate with people in Iran, and I was it was very unfortunate, the statements that the Mr. Parsi said, and a few things that was disingenuous at best, and he kind of misled, I believe, your audience.
All right, and tell me what you disagreed with Trita Parsi.
It's not a point of disagreed. It's a point of facts. He said that the Reza Pahlavi asked for people to demonstrate last night. That is 100% false. He did not ask him to. He asked them to stay away from those people, from the government people, and have their celebration. That's his exact quote in Farsi, obviously, not in English. So that was the main thing.
Does it surprise you, though, that there hasn't been a mass protest against the regime?
No.
Do you think that would be something that we shouldn't expect?
No, because they've been asked. I asked a colleague that I know in Iran, and I admire him, And I said, why didn't you leave Tehran and go to another city? And his exact quote is, and I can show it on my phone, it's in English. He said, Mr. President Trump asked us to stay home until we're needed. That is the exact quote.
And do you think there should, that the ultimate goal of this, the ultimate best outcome of this would be a change, a complete change in regime?
That is the only outcome. That is the only thing that could work. Iran, for your listeners' purpose, Iran is more than oil and gas. I mean, we are not just producer of oil and gas in Iran. Iran has been in the cradle of civilization for thousands and thousands of years. And we have contributed to mathematics, to science, to medicine. Iran needs to be free. And Mr. Van Jones, that worked for Obama administration, he just put out a video 2 weeks ago and said, you want to see a great 21st century free Iran. That's his exact quote. And that's what comes out of Iranian people. And we don't have freedom in Iran. And most people in America don't understand what that means. So I can actually say it the way maybe they can understand it. It's like not having oxygen in your lungs. So once you don't have, you're breathing right now and you don't even care. Once somebody restricts that, you'll know what that means. And that's exactly what it feels like.
It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. We're talking about the war in Iran with Maddie Tattersall and her father, Q, who you've just heard. They are members of the Iranian diaspora. Q was born in Iran and came to the United States at the age of 14. So, Maddie, when you hear Reza Pahlavi, the son of the Shah, who was deposed back in 1979, members of the Iranian community with whom you're in touch here in America, does he enjoy a lot of support? He has a 4-point plan, the first 180 days, should the regime fall, what would happen to essentially, you know, establish a democracy in Iran. What is your assessment of the Iranian-American community's affection for Pahlavi?
I mean, I think it's great that somebody is willing to step in that does not need to step in. Iran will need a transitional period if the regime does fall. And I think that it's great that somebody that understands both sides is willing to navigate them to a free country, hopefully.
And do you see any other options, any other possibilities besides Reza Pahlavi?
I mean, nobody else is stepping up the way he is. So at the moment, I don't think so. If there's other options, then that'd be great. But I think he is the only option.
Mm-hmm. And Q, when it comes to Pahlavi, do you think he enjoys significant support?
I think, there's factions in Mujahideen, MEK, there are different factions. But in the rank and file of the Iranians, I would say he's the only one that is getting almost majority lion's share of the no pun intended lion's share of the support. One thing about political scientists believe there's three ways to communicate with your government. One is through your voting, which is not available in Iran. You know, everybody that gets to stand for voting has to pass a government litmus test, basically, so you cannot vote for who you want. Second one is to create a political party that's not available in Iran. And the third way is to demonstrate, and which they showed over 80,000 dead in two nights in Iran. That's not available to Iranians. So putting their hands out to United States and Israel is the only thing left for them. They see no other option for them because they cannot communicate with their own state. They cannot have their feelings known to them, so they have turned to other people. It is a very horrible thing when you're asking other countries to bomb you. It is a horrible feeling. I mean, these people have put in the, and I'm not going to be apologetic to the Islamic Republic. It's a brutal people. And if you like it, I hope you get it in your country, But there is a lot of problems in Iran. They can be fixed. Reza Pahlavi may or may not be the final answer, but he is the answer today. And as far as the war goes, War is never the answer until it's the only answer.
There are reports now from Iran state sources that about 1,300 people have been killed in Iran so far in this 2.5-week-old conflict. Lebanon has reported 850 people. Israel is reporting 17. There are dozens more in and around the Gulf region, and the United States has confirmed at least 13 service members have been killed. There are those, among them Trita Parsi and others, writing in the New York Times recently that say that the number of deaths, the amount of destruction to infrastructure in Iran could actually backfire and lead to more support for the theocracy, support for the present regime. What do you think of that theory?
I think Israel and United States are doing it. Every night, if you look at the news, the lights are on in Tehran simply because they're not hitting the infrastructure. If they want, if Israel and United States military want to take out the electricity in the major cities, they could. They could take out the water system. And militarily, it might help them, but it won't help them in the people arena. They are fighting for the people, not for... Iran has oil. We have gone over that already. You know what I mean? Iran has oil, but it also has very intelligent people. So if...
But there are reports that Israel took out a desalination plant, for example.
I'm not apologizing for Israel's action either. I'm just saying what I see. You know what I mean? I'm not saying why mm-hmm. they did it, or how they did it. I cannot know privy to those information. But what I can tell you, every night that Iran, the telephones are on, the cell phones are on, the water is on, the electricity is on, all the utilities are on. Why? If you were taking out a country, you would bomb them first, so your enemy doesn't have access to them, and they're not doing it. And also another point that I want to make, that Trump wanted to Iran to fail in 100 hours. That is totally false. He said it will take weeks. That was his exact statement. He didn't say, I'm expecting to Islamic Republic to fall in 100 days. That was also another incorrect statement. It's being passed around. Iran is run like a mafia, basically like a mafia with the cover of a state and having a seat at the United Nations, but it's a mafia. He said that his son was that was taken because of, what was it? Because of the point, basically giving a middle finger to America. It wasn't. We knew that he's gonna be replacing his father years ago. This was also known. These are all disingenuous information.
Okay, we're going to talk more about it after a quick break. We will have more with Maddie Tattersall and her father, Q. They are two members of the Iranian diaspora on the other side of a break. But before we go to that break, each week here on Midday, it is our practice to read the names of people who have lost their lives to violence in Baltimore City and to list their names on the Midday webpage. We do this to stand in witness to their untimely deaths and to remember their families and friends in their hour of grief. So far this year, 24 people have been identified as victims of homicide in our city. Police have identified two people who were killed in the last 2 weeks. They are Quentin McClellan, age 35, and Jathan Day. He was 16 years old. I'm Tom Hall. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, we're hearing perspectives on Iran. According to the Pew Research Center, following the revolution in 1979 that brought hardline clerics to power in Iran, The Iranian population in the United States grew more than fourfold to more than 750,000 people as of 2024. Maddie Tattersall and her father, Q, are members of the Iranian diaspora. Maddie is half Iranian and half Irish. Q was born in Iran and left in 1979 as a teenager. For the safety of his family, we're not using Q's last name. He lives outside of Philadelphia. He's joining us by Zoom. Maddie and her husband, Chris, own a tree trimming business here in Glen Arm, Maryland. She joins me here in Studio A. You are welcome to join us as well. Our number here at Midday, 410-662-8780. Our email is midday@wipr.org. So Q and Maddie, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Holloway, who's on the line from Baltimore. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And thank you for having the guests on and to the guests. First of all, my Iranian American neighbor says that tomorrow is Persian New Year. So
yes, we're going to talk about that in just a second. So what's your quick question for our guests, Maddie and Q?
I actually just want to make a comment, if I could, please. I'll be as quick as I can. I want to give my condolences for all that you as Iranian Americans and your people in Iran are going through. It must be very difficult. And while I understand that you need to have regime change, I believe we need that in our country as well. And I don't trust Trump to be doing anything noble.
Okay, Holloway, thank you for your call and thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it. So, Maddie, it is Iranian New Year's. Is this something you and your family celebrate? And if so, how are you going to do it this year?
It is a holiday that we celebrate. It's one of the only Persian holidays we do celebrate. I will be going to my parents' house. We eat fish on New Year's. It falls in the exact time with the spring equinox, so I think it's at 10:46 a.m. on Friday. And this year will be toned down a little bit. I know my mom only is doing a really small half sin, which is a table that you present all different forms of rebirth and welcoming the new year. So I know we're toning it down and just doing close family dinner.
Mm-hmm. And Q, there's a bit of reporting and a bit of theorizing out there saying that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, tried with George W. Bush, tried with Barack Obama, tried with the first administration of Donald Trump, tried with Joe Biden to convince them all to attack Iran. They turned him down in each instance, except for now. You've said that the Iranian people have no choice but to rely on Israel and the United States to try to bring this regime down. What do you think? What do your friends and family in Tehran and throughout Iran think about the argument that Netanyahu has made to Trump that clearly in this case was convincing to the president in a way it wasn't convincing to him before or to any of his predecessors?
Thank you for the question. That's a hard one to answer. But I'll give you my personal feelings. When the help comes, you really don't care where it's coming from. Honestly, the people in Iran don't care who's helping them. If your house is burning, it doesn't matter who the person is that helping you. So having said that, this is my personal feeling at all. Don't ask me for any data. I think what changed is Trump being from New York City, and I've learned to listen to what Trump says and weed away the other stuff, the fluff that comes out, and get to the meat of the matter. And the meat of the matter that he said multiple times, he's got many Iranian friends. And he said that in multiple occasions. And that means a lot. That means he learned what happened in Iran, what's happening in Iran firsthand through them. He wasn't a regular like Obama or George W. Bush coming into the White House and having a State Department telling him what is going on in the country. That's just my personal feeling. I think he came in with his personal information in the last 40 some years. That's what I think is the difference.
So you trust the president when it comes to executing this war?
I trust him in the fact that there was no way out, and somebody we have to be Islamic Republic has to be removed, and somebody had to make this choice. It's an ugly choice. It is an ugly choice. It is not an easy thing to do. We should not kick this down to our children. We should grab it by the horn and bring it down. And that's what I believe. And I really don't care if it's Trump doing it or Obama doing it or somebody else. Whoever is doing it, I think it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Iran needs to be freed.
And Maddie, in your circle of friends and fellow Iranian Americans, can you give us a sense of how they feel? How do you personally feel about Mr. Trump's motivations for starting this attack in conjunction with Israel and his capacity to bring it to a conclusion that is something that Iranian Americans are going to be happy about?
All the Iranian Americans I know are happy. They all have both their parents are from Iran, or one parent. Pretty much every Iranian American I know is first generation. I don't know any that are second or third generation. So we have seen what happened hands-on to our parents, and this is the most important time in our parents' life, being able to witness this if it really is going to collapse. So every single person I know is happy.
And Q, I mean, there must be tremendous just fear for physical safety in Tehran. And how is that informing what people are thinking about in that city and cities throughout Iran, as far as you can tell from your conversations with people who are on the ground there?
It's hard to get conversation with Iran, so you have bits and pieces. I've received a couple of pictures that they have beddings against the glass, for the bombings and stuff. And they told me they're running out of water and not water, food in their dwellings. It's not easy. They are shell shocked in a way, depending on what part of the country you are in. But I haven't heard from one that says stop.
That's Q. He is a member of the Iranian diaspora. He left Iran in 1979 at the age of 14. He is the father of Maddie Tattersall, who's joined me here in Studio A. I am grateful to you both for your perspective and your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to take your questions about cars. Motor Week's John Davis will be here to answer them. If you have a question or a comment about cars, call the Midday Listener Line at 410-735-1616. Again, that's 410-735-1616. Leave us your question. We'll play it on the air tomorrow with John Davis. Fresh Air is up next. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Midday on 88.1 WYPR.